Support comes from Hampton Roads Community Foundation, partnering with donors from all walks of life to improve Southeastern Virginia through grants, scholarships, and leadership initiatives. Learn more at HamptonRoadsCF.org.
Hello, everyone. I'm Barbara Hamlee. The U.S. Supreme Court guts the Voting Rights Act with its decision in Louisiana versus Callas. The Virginia Supreme Court throws out the results of last month's statewide redistricting referendum special election, saying the process used to create the amendment is unconstitutional. And then there's the cotton-picking hands comment. Many in the Black community are asking, is this Jim Crow 2.0? We'll ask the Another View Roundtable when Another View continues right after this national, regional, and local news from NPR and WHRO News.
Discussing today's topics from an African-American perspective, this is Another View.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Another View. I'm Barbara Hamlee. We've got a full house. Oh, my goodness, we're going to have a good time on the show today, I'm just saying. But before we get to that, let me remind you and invite you to attend the Way Home Home Buying Workshop with Dollar Bank. It is happening in 3 weeks on Saturday, May 30th. I hope you will join me because I will be your MC for this event. It is a wonderful opportunity. If you are interested in home ownership, ways for you to get started. We work on your credit. They work on boosting your savings, how to cut debt, everything that you need to know in order to become a homeowner. And it's going to be held, again, Saturday, May 30th at 10 a.m. at the ODU Web Center. It is free and open to everyone. And if you want to know more, you can call 757-222-5077, 757-222-5077, and sign up. So that is the Way Home Workshop. I've done this now for, I believe, about 6 years we've been working on this project. So come on out and let's say hello and fellowship together. Also want to say a very special welcome to Ashley White. She is WHRO's newest educational reporter, and she's here with us today watching the show. Welcome, Ashley. And I also want to let you know that we have with us today Emeritus Dr. Will Levist, who's a roundtable emeritus member.
I got to upgrade somewhere I didn't know about.
And his lovely wife, Janice, is in town. They happen to be here in town. And Will said, I can come by for the discussion. So we have five voices today, y'all, on the radio, and we're going to have a good time. Will, welcome.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
It is so good to see you. So let's meet our pundits. Dawn Hester is a seasoned politician, educator, and community activist. She serves as the treasurer for the city of Norfolk. Hey, Dawn.
Hey.
How you doing? You might want to pull your mic down.
Hey.
Gaylene Knoyton is first vice chair organization with the State Democratic Party of Virginia. She's also Region 1 vice president of the NAACP of Virginia and president of Celebrate Healthcare. And that's just a few things that she does.
The struggle is real.
The struggle is real. Welcome,
Gaylene. The struggle is real.
Allison Moore is a clean comedian, a human resources expert, and youth program director. She's the founder and director of the youth program More Laughing Arts and Media. Hey, Allison.
Hey, y'all. Hey.
Dr. Eric LaVille is our political and legal analyst and the creator of the award-winning LaVille Report. How you doing, Eric?
Doing good, Barbara. We got the band back together.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Dr. Will Levist is an award-winning executive leader, multimedia journalist, and author. He has reached emeritus status as an original Another View Roundtable pundit. How you doing, my friend?
Oh, it's a pleasure. I feel so distinguished.
Yeah. I'm just glad to see you here. Absolutely. So I got to start with this, guys. So, Dawn, you and I were at the ribbon cutting for Unity at Kindred last Friday when we got the news about the Virginia Supreme Court ruling. And when I told you, you had a visceral reaction. You literally walked away. And I'm wondering if you can share what went through your head at that moment.
Not on public radio. I cannot. And so it was best for me to just walk away and not say what my thoughts were. I did calm down, though.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's always the devil's in the details, and you got to get the details. And I did not have the details at that time. I still don't like the result. And it just means that we have to do continuous work in a different way.
I know that your family has always been involved, though, in the civil rights movement, in the voting rights movement, yes, and so forth. So it had to be...
Well, disappointing.
Disappointing, yeah.
Well, it's disappointing that we're at this point, period. Okay, not just for the Virginia ruling, mm-hmm, but for what's happening across the country. Mm. So that makes it just harder to not comprehend, mm-hmm, because, you know, I see the world and the world has viewed it, has shown us how right now the path that we're taking is not one that I agree with.
Yeah.
And so I have been thinking of the things that I feel that I need to do as an individual to right what I see as a wrong. And so those are the things that I'm working on doing.
Yeah.
What will the Hester household and all of its acquaintances and family do to impact and make a difference?
So, Eric, this came on the heels of the Supreme Court decision,
yes,
about the Voting Rights Act. I wonder if you can condense as much as possible for those who truly don't understand what all this means. What happened in both instances, and why are people so upset about what's going on at this point? Some people.
Right.
Because some people are very happy about what's happening.
Right. Well, Barbara, you're exactly right. A lot is going on, and it seems like it happened overnight, but this has always been in the works. Again, I referenced the Heritage Foundation, Project 2025. This is a work that has been in place, and they were just waiting for the perfect opportunity, the perfect storm of individuals in government in order to execute it, and they have it. And they are executing the power that they have. With that being the case, in 2025, President Trump said that he needed 5 more seats to have a better advantage to win the midterm elections. You know, again, mid-decade redistricting is something that has been tried, but the court has struck down, the Supreme Court. However, this particular time, Texas obliged, and the legislators redrew those districts, and then the governor signed it. Did not put a referendum before the people at all. It was challenged in 2025 in December, and the Supreme Court came back and they upheld the mid-decade redistricting, and they upheld the fact that they could redistrict based upon political affiliation.
So basically they let them do it.
They gotcha. Let them do it. Again, mm-hmm, political affiliation, Republican, Democrat, not race. Then Louisiana files a case for a district that was created by Congressman Cleo Fields, who represented that district in the 90s as well. And they filed a case to challenge that, and that's the Louisiana versus Calais case. Mm-hmm. With that stated that their district was unconstitutional because it utilized race in order to draw the district, racial gerrymander as opposed to political party gerrymander. The court took that up. In the process of the court taking up that case, you have California that answered the call in order to balance out Texas. Mm-hmm. However, what California did, they put up a referendum, Proposition 60, before the people. The legislature drafted it, put it up. The people voted, overwhelmingly passed it, and the map passed. And that's what we have now. Again, a process in California to win before the people. Texas did it themselves in what we call backroom type politics. Then from there, Missouri, Ohio, and North Carolina, primarily in Missouri, North Carolina, focusing on in Texas, congressional black caucus seats, they redrew their maps, again, through the state legislators, and the governor signed it. These are, again, Republican-led legislators. So then what Virginia did, and they have 4 more seats. So what Virginia did is that they put up a referendum before the people using the process outlined in Article 12, Section 2, Section 1 or Section 2, I think it's Section 1, mm-hmm. Of the Constitution of Virginia in order to put it before the people. Voted on twice, intervening election in between, which is where this case turns in 2025. And then after it passed, that put it on a referendum. They voted on it and the people passed it on April 21st. Special session on April 22nd. And then now the case was challenged on the 22nd. And then from there, the court stayed the election itself. Prior to that, it was also challenged before it went to the people. The court, Supreme Court of Virginia, allowed the election to go forth. Many people, based on the way the decision was written, including myself, thought that the court was going to allow the people to decide. If the people voted it down, the issue was moot. Mm-hmm. It was done. However, if the people voted it up, they're going to allow the will of the people to move forward. With that, what ended up happening is that at that particular time, the court, Virginia Supreme Court, ruled that there was one issue procedurally that caused that referendum to become unconstitutional, and that's the definition of an election. Within the Constitution, an intervening election, they define an election as the time period of early voting, 45 days, and the day of voting itself, as opposed to state and federal law, which is election is the day of the election. So the court then nullified the votes of over 3.1 million people with 51.something% voting in favor and 48-something% voting against, which is 3.14% of the margin of victory of people that voted or voters that voted for it. The largest turnout in the for one vote, for one question.
Issue. That was
right.
It.
Yes or no, mm-hmm. right? Which was only 300,000 less than the gubernatorial race in November. Major. So what ended up happening, that was struck down, and then the Supreme Court case in Louisiana came out that nullified that district in Louisiana and, by virtue, stated that it's unconstitutional to draw congressional districts with race as a factor. When that came about, states that were under pre-clearance of the Voting Rights Act, which was already nullified, immediately met and started to redraw maps in order to eliminate, more specifically, congressional Black caucus districts. So with that being the case, we will have southern states where a population of Black people are between 30% and 40% that will have either one or zero representation in Congress. Ironically, I was just showing Will. I'll talk about this on my show on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, mm-hmm. Where if you look at the new map of proposed legislative districts and the southern Confederate states that seceded from the Union, it is the exact same, minus Virginia and Ohio. But if you look at the Virginia case, the Supreme Court case, you could actually add them in there for actually setting this up. So right now, the state of Tennessee, they section off the city of Memphis, a congressional district, into four parts to dilute
the black vote.
The Voting Rights Act of 1965 was created to eliminate this type of action that we're seeing now. And for those that say it's not about race, race and political parties, especially in the South, are diametrically there's really no difference between it. Majority of white Americans in the South are Republican. Majority of Black Americans in the South are Democrat.
Wow.
So that's where we're at in a nutshell.
Gaylene, you've been really busy working with NAACP. You guys came out with a statement about, that's a different statement. But you're talking about doing.
We do a lot of statements.
Yeah, you do a lot of statements.
But and lawsuits.
You're doing a big march coming up on Saturday. Mm-hmm. What's the conversation? What are people saying in terms of how do we counteract what is happening?
Well, we got to be outside and we got to hit the streets. And we're going to have to do Freedom Summer. And Freedom Summer is about voter registration. And we're going to have to get more people in the system, and we got to get them registered to vote, and we got to educate them on the importance. I was at a national meeting yesterday, and I've been on a lot of national meetings, but one of the topics is that we've got to teach our people how to decipher what disinformation looks like, because it's going to be on steroids in November. What we went through this last election It was the NAACP that reached 150,000 black voters in Virginia. It was the NAACP that went on April Fool's Day and called them out as a liar on disinformation behind this referendum, because it was a nonpartisan election, and this is the first time we've been able to be involved in it. And we were the only ones who called them a lie. And so that little margin that came out was the black vote that made the difference in that margin in this election. So what people are saying is, what can I do? What do we need to do? Yeah, we have a new candidate, and our candidate is Black Power. That's who our candidate is. And we've got to be able to energize our base and get these young people out. You see, I try to explain to, I talked to my son on Mother's Day. You know, I was telling him, you know, he's got a good job and everything, he's doing well. And I says, you know, the Civil Rights Movement was built on people who didn't have anything. They didn't have any rights. I said, you all were born with rights. And now it's being taken away, and you have yet to feel the impact of it, but you will. And that's why you need to be out here with us now. You know, and that's the name of the game.
Allison, what are folks saying in your world? What are they talking about?
So in my world, it's very, let's talk about like the corporate world, it's real tense. Like you can just feel the tension over the last couple of days, especially between blacks and whites, and not really want to talk about it, and just kind of, hey, you seen the news at the coffee, around the coffee pot. But what I have found, and I think I feel like what, and obviously we're not a monolith, I'm not speaking on behalf of all of us young,
sure,
very young, very young millennials, us tenderonies. But I am seeing how, where before there are a lot more Republicans being honest about them regretting their vote. I don't know how, I just didn't know that it was coming. Okay. Okay, Chad. But now it's a lot more honesty about, oh, I wish, I didn't realize it was going to go this far. And so whereas before, a lot of people were just empowered by racism. They like that. And I think that that's kind of manipulative with what's happening now. He's just throwing anything on making people remember that you don't like blacks. There's so many other promises that the Republican Party did not deliver on that people who voted before are like, okay, you know what? I can't even support this anymore. I'm not that mad at black people to forget about even walking it back from the beginning. That wall, we ain't got no wall. Them farmers, they're struggling. Mm-hmm. Gas prices, a lot about that. We see that it's about to be $5 for us, $10 over across the country. Right? Mm-hmm. The immigrants and the violence, where they at? Because y'all not locking up these violent immigrants. It looked like the people that you needed on those farms and at those convenience stores, right? The Epstein files, you didn't deliver on that. The no new wars, you didn't deliver on that. I mean, it's just a list of broken promises. And the only thing that they have left right now is this attack on black people and trying to shut us up and hoping that white people will say, or that Republicans will be okay with that and keep carrying the water.
Well, speaking of that, let's take a listen to something that our president said earlier this week and get your reaction to it.
When you're negotiating with Iran, Mr. President, to what extent are Americans' financial situation motivating you to make a deal?
Not even a little bit. The only thing that matters when I'm talking about Iran, they can't have a nuclear weapon. I don't think about Americans' financial situation. I don't think about anybody. I think about one thing. We cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon. That's all.
Well, what do you think about your president, the president of this president? United States of America, saying he doesn't care about Americans' financial situation?
Well, it's what comes to mind for me is that we're just supposed to believe that what we were told or what was said or what happened didn't actually happen. I mean, that's all of the things he said he no longer cares about, all the things he ran on. And so now we're just supposed to believe, well, maybe we didn't really actually hear that. And that's not actually why we voted, or that's not actually why, you know, so many people got behind you, like almost a cult kind of mentality, because they were actually listening to what you were saying. And so that's what I find interesting, even with the court's decision. You know, Eric talked about the map that is the same. If you go back to the Civil War and you look at the map now, it's the same map. So we're supposed to believe that the Civil War didn't happen, and all of the things that were done with the 65 Voting Rights Act was addressing all of these inequities and all of these horrors and all of this violence that happened, we're supposed to believe that didn't happen. And so now everything is fine. There's no systemic issues going on. So why should we have to worry about redistricting based on race? Not only does it not go on now, it never even happened. Apparently.
Well, and that really is Alito's, I mean, that was the core of his argument, was it not? That the South has changed.
Right, it's a colorblind society.
The South is colorblind. But I want to read something. Eric received an email from, I guess, a listener. I don't know whether she or he heard you on your show or this one. But at any rate, the email says, Mr. Clavel, with all due respect, how many thousands of years will it take before people realize this isn't the 60s? I'm guessing if the black community usually voted Republican, there wouldn't have been a peep out of you. If someone can't win an election based on their own merits, then maybe they shouldn't be running. But apparently that's not important. It's all about being able to check the right boxes. Saying that the sky is falling only takes you so far. After a while, people quit listening. And racial gerrymandering is wrong, no matter which side of the coin you're on. You can't have it both ways. It's just as wrong. But I doubt you'll ever admit it. What do you say to people who say this is not a big deal? And why are you making this such a big deal? I'll start with you since it was written to you first, Eric.
Right. So I would simply say take the blue pill, the red pill, right? I mean, honestly, you know, it's one of those things, Barbara, where you are so programmed to believe a lie that when the truth is in front of you, it's impossible for you to even justify that is the truth. You know, racial gerrymandering has always been a part of our country. You know, it was embedded in our Constitution. It was embedded in the 60s, before the 60s, what we call white only. Only white males had the
right to vote.
Right.
Right.
And if you take a look at our maps now, they're justifying diluting black and brown voices and the vote of black and brown people by creating a legal argument that party gerrymandering is okay, but racial is not. When in fact, when you target specifically black and brown voices in districts and dilute those only and spread those out, you are racially gerrymandering districts for what's called a white majority. And within that white majority, and it goes back to what Will was saying.
What had happened didn't actually happen.
Right.
And it ain't happening.
Right. I mean, look, the Civil War was real. I mean, you had states that is written in their history books, is written in the Constitution. The reason why that they broke away from the Union, because they did not want blacks to have the same rights or opportunities as blacks are the same as whites. I mean, it's as clear as, no pun intended, black and white, you know, on the paper.
Yes.
But again, when you want to ignore it and just believe the lie, then you'll write things like that. So again, I mean, I don't know really what to tell a person like that. I thank them for listening and I thank them for writing. I still want them to do that because one day they just may hear something or they may see something or experience something and say, you know what? You know, this isn't right, or I was wrong because of that. And it kind of brings me back to that line in the Black Panther that says, you know, when he asked, why'd you do this? Why are you telling? And he said, we had to do it to protect the lie. You know, and many things we do it to protect the lie.
Like Columbus discovering America. Now that's an Italian pride holiday. And he came to this hemisphere under the Spain's flag. But that's what he never came to the continental United States.
It's true, but that wasn't the story.
What had happened happen is not happening.
And then you also think about the 1902 convention. It was the Constitutional Convention in 1902 was designed to disenfranchise the black vote, and you had one of the delegates sat there and said, "Darkies don't deserve to vote." I mean, it's in the records.
Don, what are they afraid of?
Us?
No, but why? Why? I mean, seriously, why is this so ingrained, even generation after generation after generation? Is it because we're passing the same message to each generation? Why is it not changing?
You mean others?
That's fair. Yeah, others.
Others, yes, yes. Are passing the
yes,
same
that's
message.
That's what I'm talking about.
They are passing the same message to their children and grands and greats. And so it continues. And in our community, in the minority community, or let me not even say minority anymore, because we not, in my mind, people of color, we are living the dream that mm-hmm. others fought for us. And I think mm-hmm. that's what they're afraid of. Mm-hmm. Because we have taken what we've learned, what we've built in our families, in our corporations, in our lives, done what they have done, watching how they did it. And so you're afraid that we might get more. Mm. But all we want is what we want, just like you. So we're going to continue to work. We're going to continue to build. We're going to continue to grow. We're going to continue to expand our wealth and our boundaries. So go along with us on the ride. We're not trying to knock you out the way. You can come with us too. But we do have to talk. And that person needs someone to talk to, to see, to at least begin to listen. And, you know, so I'm glad that he or she shared what they did, because there are many others who feel that way. But if you haven't been on a journey that someone else has been on, then you, it's hard for you to relate.
Yeah, it's hard for you to understand.
Right.
What it is. And that, I mean, that's why we have this show, too, because we want to bridge that gap to try to help people understand the difference. Allison, you wanted to say something before I...
Yeah, I think it's really interesting in the comments, a couple of points that we're talking about with the sky is falling.
Uh-huh.
Because that, to me, it just made me think of what the clip that you played with Trump and how he is really desensitized. He is not connected to his audience. To talk about how we don't care about the financial state of Americans, we worried about Iran. Like, you, the sky's falling, because y'all been telling me since I was in elementary school that Iran and these weapons, we have just got to stop it, right? So then it's like, is that the real issue? And I don't think he realizes his people are like, okay, enough is enough. Because again, who they're depending on, these, what you ran out the rich white folks. Now you need those poor white folks to come and pull up and support you too. And they can't get there because gas is $5. And they still mad cents. About baby. And they're still mad about the groceries that have not come down. So to me, and when Eric, you talking about the Black Panther quote, I thought you was gonna say, is this your king? That's the quote that I'm hearing right now. And I'm just like, my mom used to say, it's gonna come out in the wash. And I feel like it's gonna come out in the wash. That's gonna be embarrassing for them when they have done all they could to rig the system more, to tangle up stuff more, and then their own people say, actually, we tired of you.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about politics in the Black community with Another View Roundtable pundits Dawn Hester, Gaylene Connoyton, Allison Moore, Dr. Eric LaVille, and Dr. Will LaViste. 757-440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240 are the numbers to call to join our conversation. I'm sure some of y'all out there have some thoughts, so give us a call and let us know what you're thinking about. In the meantime, while we're waiting to see if we hear some other folks, I want to talk about another topic, and that's called the term dog whistle. Have you ever heard a dog whistle? Mm-hmm. Let's listen.
If Hakeem Jeffries wants to be involved in Virginia politics, then I suggest he does what all a bunch of New Yorkers are doing. Leave New York, move down here to Virginia, run for office down here. You can represent us. If not, get your cotton picking hands off of Virginia.
That's right. Ditto. Yes. Yes to that.
Get your cotton picking hands off Virginia. Reaction, Will.
What had happened didn't happen, and it ain't happening now.
You didn't see that.
So that term has no context, no history. It's just another phrase. It's like how we say, oh, for Jesus Christ, stop what you're doing. That's all that matters. It has nothing to do with slavery. It has nothing to do with skin color. We're just supposed to believe that everything is all fine. None of these things are happening. And so that's just a, you know, a harmless comment. But in reality, it's very much A dog whistle is very much told the voters who they're trying to appeal to, who Hakeem Jeffries is, what color he is, and how, you know, this is us against them. That's what it meant.
Eric, you actually, we were talking about this beforehand. I said dog whistle. You called it something else.
Yeah, this is a bullhorn. You know what?
Loud and clear.
Sorry, Lisa, I touched the mic again. but it's an inside studio joke. But you know, well, what we're finding now is that what has taken place has emboldened, and really, what I call it's taken the foot off the head of the serpent of racism and discrimination, you know, what these policies, what this White House has done. And there's a boldness that's there. We saw it in the immigration ICE push to deport, you know, anybody. Again, ICE was about illegal immigration, but they only targeted Hispanic people and Black people. That was it, you know. You know, not just that statement, but in Louisiana, one of the state senators in a Senate committee room, when they were putting their maps for it, by the way, the White House actually gave South Carolina a map, you know, to actually withdraw, right? Talk about get out of your state, you know. Speaker Johnson was actually here campaigning on behalf of Ken Jenkins and other Republicans. So get out of your state. I mean, so again, it's what happened was did happen. You know, it's like it's okay when we do it, but it's a problem when I do it.
Yeah.
You know, now, but hold on a second. I thought you were gonna come in with the rap.
Let me go back to being young.
You're slipping.
I'm a tenderoni, hold on.
You know, but what the state senator did to the Democratic executive director, he said, y'all need to shut up. Then he looked him in his eyes and told him, you need to shut up, boy. You know. And again, There's a boldness that is coming up that is here in the land. And I'll say this very quickly, is that one thing that I believe has been mistaken and really not cherished by our country is what I call the gift of the value of Black and brown people. You know, Black and brown people have been the base of building the wealth of this country for mostly white individuals, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at slavery was the bedrock of how America came from just, you know, here to really being a major economic power base in the world, and then a military force after World War II, which our president has just really dismantled with NATO and Canada and so forth, our biggest trading partner. But the base of Social Security, the base of all programs, depend upon a workforce that pays into the system. By deporting people who are here working jobs that we really need individuals to work, that base is gone, and not giving them an opportunity as a fair and equitable way to become legal and contribute as in a tax base. And then, of course, with all of the elimination of federal jobs by DOGE, over 300,000 Black women making six figures have saw their jobs eliminated because, again, false teachings and beliefs, all to protect the lie. And unfortunately, I believe that has been the downfall of our country, the downfall of our, and will continue to tear at the base and the foundation of the downfall of us and our standing in the world.
Allison. I think that, okay, so I don't like going against the grain, y'all. I will just carve out a little space for if you want to say I didn't realize it or whatever, because I say cotton picking all the time, and I think if I were to ask my kids, they probably say it and they may not understand the context. So is there a chance that maybe he wasn't trying to dog whistle?
No.
I'm not saying.
Absolutely not.
The question is there a chance?
No.
Not what do we think he was doing, okay? So if I were to say that there's still, regardless of what, you don't have public relations people. Still, regardless of what, y'all shouldn't have kicked out the DEI programs, because in those trainings, we do, because I know I teach them in human resources. So whatever way, if you want to pretend like you didn't mean it, that's more reason why you need more people that look like me in your office consulting with you.
I think it's very interesting because not one of you yet has brought up the fact that Ms. Kickens agreed in the conversation.
You didn't get to that.
Okay. Well, I'm coming to stay in the lane. Well, and the thing, let me just read this then to piggyback on what you just said, because our very good friend Steve Cornelianson, who listens to our show often from
on the other side of the water. I think it's Hampton. But he says that the GOP Representative Jen Kiggins says she agrees that Hakeem Jeffries has cotton-picking hands. That's in quotes. He says, no, she doesn't agree. She just made the mistake of assuming that she could repeat non-literally an old, widely used cliche phrase. It's just that it's a phrase that a politician can't use because it will get the politician targeted as meaning it literally. The attack on Representative Kiggins for this is an example of the stupid, trashy level of civil discourse that Tony McCreney and Governor McDonald talked about, condemned this morning on Tony's WNIS radio talk show. And he's speaking, he said, as a huge Laurier supporter. So, Gaylene, I hadn't gotten to you and Dawn yet. But there are some people who are saying, as Allison asked the question, could it be they just didn't know?
They're too old not to know. Excuse me. Go ahead.
No, you're exactly right. Ahead. We could talk go to ahead. Each other about this one. You're exactly right. They're too old not to know. And let me tell you something. Everything, the sheets are off, right? And so the bottom line is they can say whatever they want to say when they want to say it now. You know, we had called on, a statement was put out by the NAACP, yes. Virginia State Conference, to ask for an apology. She has not even addressed it at all. She just said, that's not what I meant or whatever. You know, she just, she tried to get behind it, whatever. Instead of saying, you know, I didn't know the implication of this. I didn't know that, you know, and I didn't really mean that or whatever. She never even said that.
Right. Because if we want to give her, wanted to give her the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. Then apologizing and saying, I really didn't understand that.
And
everybody hasn't
person.
Heard everything. And, you know, instead of using cotton picking, I used the D word. So, you know, we all have our ways of saying things. So maybe she did. Maybe that's not in her world. Okay. But just say, I didn't know. Sorry about that. And then move on.
And move on.
And hire someone.
Okay. Well, yeah, you know, you do have to have those. But, you know, people to help you. But for me, that's the radio show host. And to me, he should be canned.
Yeah. No, but apologizing doesn't appeal to their base.
Right. No, I know it doesn't.
So the radio show host talking to their base.
Right.
She knows she's on the radio talking to their base. She will never apologize because the whole Trump persona is, I don't care how wrong I am, but I don't apologize.
For the people who are listening to us, who are not that deep in the base, who are trying to figure out what this world is coming to, I want you to know that it's okay to apologize, to listen, to think about what's being said.
No.
You don't have to say anything publicly, but you do have to make some decisions about how you want this country to be.
Right.
And you have to vote for that.
Well, God, I think they are making decisions how they want the country to be.
They are.
You know, so I.
All of us are.
But everybody needs to hear kind of what's going on. And hopefully, for those who didn't know that it was a dog whistle, that it was a racist
they
thing to
now.
Say, they know now. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, and just what someone, I think Allison said about just a advisor, consultant, the radio host, you know, Will is right. Apology doesn't appeal to their base. They're not going to do that. Mm-mm. You know, calls are resigned. That's not going to happen. But to the point that the radio host knew what he was saying, and then you should know that there are some terms that you just can't use that will draw in every society or culture. You know, there are some things that you can't say toward a Native American that is offensive. There are some things that you can't say toward Italian Americans, Jewish Americans, Black Americans, or even white Americans that would be considered offensive because of the history around it. But that was intentional, you know, and when you talk about a speaker who's Black, a speaker, you talk about cotton and you talk about picking and slavery. I mean, we all knew what it was. I think what should have been proper was that.
I don't think he would have said that to Mike Johnson.
No, not at all.
Right. He knew what audience he's talking to.
He knew what he was doing. I mean, that's just like I'm sitting here. I don't say things here that I might say somewhere else because I want us to stay on the radio.
Right. Okay. Me too. Thank you.
And then when the congresswoman should have said was like, well, not cotton pig. I wouldn't say cotton picking, but keep your XYZ hands off, or whatever case may be.
Or and stay out of Virginia.
Or just stay out of Virginia.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
So, let's talk to Linwood calling us from Norfolk. Hi, Linwood. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Just real quick. The quote from the black professor at the end of Kinsburg's Civil War, she said, "The Civil War is not over and it can still be lost." And Dr. Clavel, your opinion on what are the chances of the Supreme Court upholding the new maps? I'll take my answer off there. Thank you.
The new maps, particularly in South Carolina, he's talking about, with the fact that South Carolina has so far said that Representative Clyburn can keep his position,
right,
or can keep that district.
Right. Yeah. So Linwood, thanks again for the call. There are 10 Republican states, 10 Republican legislators, legislative bodies, all Republican, that have passed or consider passing new maps that the governor will sign, and they will all stand the muster of this U.S. Supreme Court. Anything Democrat, they'll find a way not to uphold the map here. If you're looking for the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene here and uphold the map, that's not going to happen. So that case.
So
is
you think you're saying that the Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court, will just kick it back to
absolutely, here, absolutely. Because here's what they're going to do, from a legal, from a judicial legal perspective, they're going to look at this and say it's state law. It's a state. States have the ultimate right to interpret their law, which they do, right? However, when that law goes against federal law, then of course the federal can intervene, which again the definition does go against state and federal designation of what an election is. However, that's the reasoning that they're going to use, is state law. States are more apt against states' rights, unless I want you to do something I want you to do.
But isn't there another state that's also questioning what an election means in terms of time, space, and they still need to make a decision on that?
Let me think about that, because I
don't know, but I thought it was another, maybe I'm incorrect.
That
it was before them and they haven't made a decision on it yet,
right,
in terms of what election means. Okay. And I'm wondering if that then, I mean, it won't help us for the midterms this time, but I'm just wondering if that might have an impact.
All right. Well, real quickly, I think for Virginians, they should be thinking about the fact that judges that they could not vote for made a decision that overruled the will of the people. The people did vote for this to go forward. And all of the judges in Virginia, they're all politically appointed. And I've said this before on this show and in other shows, that I think Virginia and maybe South Carolina may be the same case.
They are.
But there's something to be said about you have no say in voting for your judges, but then your judges can make a decision that overrules the will of the people. And Virginia should be looking at that, because you got a lot of judges that get politically appointed and they make decisions based on whether it's politically expedient for them or their party, and it's affecting the entire state. So that's an issue that this is, in my mind, has brought that up.
So let's talk to Robert in Chesapeake. Hi, Robert, you're on the air.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Yes.
So I just wanted to bring up something, and it doesn't directly relate to your topic, but in general, it relates to the show. And I wanted to let you know that there was a fusion event that created humans. It's called the HSA-2 fusion event. And all Homo sapiens descended from this one individual that had 48 chromosomes, and
Robert, do you have a question? Only because we're running out of time. Do you have a specific question you want to raise?
Well, I just wanted to know if you had heard of that, because that indicates there's only one race of people, Homo sapiens.
Thank
okay.
you, Robert. Thank you.
And okay, thank you, Robert, for the call. We appreciate that.
You know, when we're talking about this dog whistle situation, and I'm like really thinking about Keegan's.
Yeah, Keegan's.
She need black friends.
And sometimes when I'm standing on this public relations situation too, because there are many times where I'm on stage and I'm just trying to get to the next joke. I'm down the street. So I might say, I'm not paying attention. You know how when you walk in, you're like, how you doing today? If somebody asks you, say, not good, you're like, oh, okay, have a good one. You're not listening to them, right? So there is, again, I'm standing on the chance that she wasn't paying attention. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about her since she representing our state. You need to call me, girl. I can help you. But because language and communication is evolving, right? We can't say things like Indian givers. We can't master bedroom. These are things that we may not recognize. Oh, that has some, especially if you are not somebody in the group that you were put down for that term to have its, I don't know, popularity or prominence or whatever. And so I want to stand on the fact that in the event she didn't mean it, then there are things that she can do in her actions to show us it will never happen again. And that we can trust that she's not out.
But isn't that the point that so far nothing has come from her to correct it?
I
hear what you're saying, but
I'm thankful that
go ahead, Dawn.
We are trying to give her grace.
Yeah.
And we are trying to give her opportunities and ways going forward, because mm-hmm. you're not going to go backwards. Mm-hmm. Going forward to be able to respond in a way that will not be offensive to citizens of Virginia. Because mm-hmm. that's what we're trying to teach right now.
Yeah.
But this is to every listener, too. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we do have a tendency, some of us, to say things that are offensive and you don't even know it's offensive. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be careful about how you talk to people and how you listen to people. I just want to throw something out here. It's sure. not on our list. Mm-hmm. But I've been thinking about this and I haven't seen any data on it. And y'all smart people, so y'all might know. You know, all the immigrants have been locked up and detained and deported. How many of them were voters? Mm-hmm. How many votes have we taken away from the immigrant population?
Yeah,
that could have been impactful. I haven't seen the data on it. But I would like to know that.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean that's all possible. I mean that's all part of the plan as well.
I know. I just wanted to bring it up.
Right, right. And the other part of it is you're going to see voter intimidation at the polls. You're going to see ICE not too many feet from polls. You're going to see federal police from around polling stations in order to intimidate and to stop individuals from voting. Voting is extremely powerful because it allows us to put persons in positions that pass public policy to help benefit and prosper and progress society for all people.
And that's why all of us are going right? to vote.
Well, and I was going to say, so the point also in the last 5 minutes we have or so, how critical is it that, and I know, Gaylene, I know you want to jump on this, is it that everybody votes? Regardless of which way you vote, you've got to vote, correct?
Right. Let me just a quick question. I just can't get my words out. I thought the last part of the Voting Rights Act was to have safety at the polls and no type of violence or anything like that. That's the only thing that's left.
Sure.
It's there.
Yeah.
It's still left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. But who defines safety?
Okay. Got you. Okay. Right. I understand. Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be part of it.
Well, you know, voting is your power. You know, voting is your power. And the bottom line to it is that I was at a gas station. A young guy was complaining about how high the gas was. And I asked him, did you vote in 2024? He said, no. I said, oh, you voted for President Trump. He says, no, I didn't. I said, oh, yes, you did. Mm-hmm. And when I explained to him about how your vote goes to policy, it clicked just like that. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to be able to teach and educate during this Freedom Summer that we have in 2.0. As an educator, that voting is our power. That's our superpower.
And I want people to understand what we mean when we say Freedom Summer.
Yeah.
Yes.
That means we're going to be working our butts off.
That's exactly right.
To get people registered to vote, to mm-hmm. get people educated, to get mm-hmm. people to understand, and even to begin working on policy. Mm-hmm. So that is what Freedom Summer is. You might be off from school, mm-hmm. but you're going to be working,
that's right.
helping somebody get registered to vote, or teaching somebody how to do something.
How much of all of this do you guys think is going to impact will people who want to run for office going forward?
I'm not sure. I'm not that optimistic about it because the politics seems to be you only run to talk to your own people. That's it. Like what we're seeing with the governor, just having a conversation with their own voters, not really thinking about the general population. So individuals running for office, I'm not sure if they're feeling this reckoning of people want a government that is looking just to embrace what is important for the people. So I'm not that optimistic about it.
If we look at California, that guy that his house burned down running for mayor, you know, he coming in second, coming up hot on the mayor. So, and he's speaking to things that are concerning to people. So I think that more of us need to run for office at all levels.
Because that
we have to, because that is where, especially locally, this is where things impact you truly daily. But even at the other all levels, we have to run. Mm-hmm. You can't be scared to run.
You can't get out there.
But it is frightening to run.
Yeah.
Now I've done it enough.
Yeah.
It is frightening, but if we can't hide from it, because if we do, then what are we going to have? What they're trying to make us have now, which is all of one race representing the country.
And the thing, we talk about this on the national level, but the fact is whatever happens nationally also trickles down to all of our local elections, which is really where the impact comes in. Go ahead,
Barbara, exactly right. What's going to happen, we're talking about the Louisiana Kelly case on a federal level, but that applies to state districts. That applies to local districts as well. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see a massive shakeup in the South where most African Americans actually live, where you'll have least representation. You know, we're looking at an about face. You know, we're looking at an about face from 1962 back, right? That's where these policies are taking us. And this is where they're targeted to take us as well. You know, so when you look at the economic side of it, not just table topic issues of gas, food, utilities, and the like, but you're also looking at debt as well, student loan debt. The SAVE program is done that was created by Biden that really helped all Americans to pay off their student loans. That's done now. So you have to get into a new repayment program that is not advantageous. When you look at what's happening overseas and with our allies, now former allies, when you look at what's happening in Iran, and now a very pivotal and very important meeting is taking place we speak in China with the two superpowers, with our president sitting across the table from China, who is now leading these other, our former allies. We are in a very, very, very precarious situation when we look at our state of the U.S. domestically and internationally.
But remember, in Virginia, we are the only state in the South that has its own Voting Rights Act.
That is correct.
Okay, so there is some hope here
in
Virginia.
The other thing I'm going to say is, I'm never going to give up hope. I'm going to keep on fighting. So it might be going where it's going, but it doesn't have to stay where we see it going. But if we sit on our butts, it will.
If we don't
get off
fight.
Your butt.
Don has the last word. Get off your butt. Absolutely. Thank you all. I love you all, Roundtable. Thank you so very much. And thank you, audience, for sharing an hour of your life with us here on Another View. You can listen to this show again or any Another View program at whro.org/AnotherView or on your favorite podcast platform. Next week on Another View, we're going to take a little bit of break from all this heaviness and really talk about how do we get rid of our own stress. We've got therapist and wellness professional Bettina Lee joining us. No relation to me. Our theme music is an original composition created especially for Another View by Jay Sennett. Lisa Godley is our show producer. Jordan Christie is our audio engineer, and Dr. Barry Graham answered our phones. I'm Barbara Ham Lee. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone, and let's get together again next Thursday at noon for Another View.
Support comes from Hampton Roads Community Foundation,
carrying out your charitable wishes forever. Whether it's helping shelter animals, feeding the homeless, enhancing the arts, or supporting students. Learn more at leaveabequest.org.